Hey, you guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is where creators, writers, founders, the barely holding it together but still showing up kind of humans get the microphone. Not the ones sitting on the sidelines talking about it, not the ones still at home thinking about it, but the people that are actually in the arena, bruised and bold and still standing. So come on here, you pitch your book, your podcast, your product, or tell me why you should have all of the above. Because I'm not here for the highlight reels. I'm not a fan of the Instagram curated fake bullshit. Okay. I want to be here and talk about how your mess turned into your message, how you kept moving while getting your ass kicked, what it actually looks like to build something meaningful when you don't have it all figured out. Okay. We don't do soft confidence, soft confidence, fake takes, none of that stuff here. Just real people, real courage, and real momentum. And you guys, I have to say this, and I'm going to say it like every single time because I believe this with everything in me. Jesus loves us way too much to let us stay stuck. And I want this to be your wake-up call. You were created to live in your highest potential. That was God-given, made in his image, and you're called to bring other people with you. So it's time for you to be contagious, courageous, and magnetic, and your mess is not your disqualification. That's your damn assignment. So if you've been sitting there thinking, like, who am I to say anything? You're exactly who this room is for, because if you're in the arena, this is your space. So I'm excited to bring on Marcy Dean today, okay? And I'm gonna say this up front, this is not a light story. Marcy spent 20 years building a career at the highest level, working inside major tech systems, leading design, doing the kind of work that a lot of people spend their lives chasing. And then everything collapsed. Okay. I'm not going to finish telling her story. That's exactly why I brought her here. So you guys don't have to listen to me all day. So we're just going to get right into it. Marcy Dean, I'm so honored that you came on here and that you're willing to get into the arena. I can already, just even reading your bio, I'm very excited for people to hear this. So, first question out the gate, tell us who you are and what you do.
Yeah, thank you so much. And preach, sister, everything you're saying, like I completely resonate with. So just want to say that. Love what you're doing. Yeah, as you said, I was one of those people who I figured out, even though I feel like I'm neurodivergent, out of the box thinker, always have been, I learned how to work within the system and I set goals for myself and I achieved them. And I knew from a very young age, I was like, I'm going to do design. This is what I'm going to do. Graphic design is what I went to school for, and then ended up in user experience design. Climbed the ladder 18 years at IBM. Then COVID opened up, and suddenly there were all these opportunities where all the big companies were coming after me. And I narrowed it down to Google and AWS. And I made a choice that was a learning lesson, but culturally wasn't a great fit for me. But the money was there. And I'm at the point where I've got all the by society standards, top of the line things. My life is, great. But in that transition, I also realized it was time to put my foot down on a toxic marriage that I'd been in. We had separated several times, and it was like, this is not good. I was trying to hold on for kids. I've got two teenage daughters, all the things that were like, this is going to be the first thing I've broken in my, I'm never getting divorced. I'm going to do this, like rules I set for myself. But in leaving that marriage, I very quickly ended up meeting a one of a kind lifetime soulmate. I do believe we have different soulmates and different people come into our lives to play different purposes. This isn't like a Disney film, but this was one of those like, wow, like I've never felt like I've known someone from the second I met them. And so now I look at it as the more bold, like I knew I needed to awaken on a bigger level. I've always been empathic. I've always read people and kind of just had messages for people, but I didn't put myself in a woo-woo category at all. I called myself a Christian, and I believed in my own personal relationship with Jesus and all these things. But it was never like the on the mountaintop yoga retreat type of people that I could relate to. But John and I had this like psychic ability where we could almost connect to each other. We could speak without words. And I thought that it was just this amazing gift for me finally being bold enough to make changes in my life. But very quickly into the relationship, I started getting messages that he was going to die. I heard literally, and I looked at him one time and I heard, enjoy this. This is real, but he's gonna pass. And it scared the crap out of me, but I was hoping it was just my own fears. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's just me backtracking anxiety. Nope. When I talked to him about it, he had told me he was feeling the same thing, that his life was short. He's 5 years younger than me. Of course, you do the human thing. And I'm like, let's get all your health checked out. So anything that was like little things, like a dental problem, like we're going to get it all resolved. I thought I could stop this, but we did treat every day like it was our last. And it was a beautiful way to experience things. And so we were only together just shy of 7 months before he moved in. And we got invited down to a boating excursion for Father's Day weekend. I tell people my dad had been a boat captain towards the end of his life and his retirement. That's what he was doing. And so he passed away 10 years prior. I always felt close to him. I'm like, this is like the best possible thing. So we go out with our friends, and there's a private island outside North Carolina that is beautiful, unobstructed. You can dock on one side, there's people hanging out, just having a great time, shallow water on one side, and then unobscured beach on the other. So we spent most of the morning on the sound side. And then, ironically, around lunchtime, John was off the boat. I was still sitting on the boat. Everyone's kind of figuring out if we're going to go to the beach, all that. And he said he needed to take his son to the bathroom. He sends me a text message while staring at me that just said, "I love you, Marcy." And I was like, it wasn't just something funny. And I'm like, what? And but what came through me is I would use the words, "I adore you," with him, which I hadn't done that with anyone before. It felt deeper than just the "I love you." And so I said, "I adore you, John. You are my life." And he sent a red heart, and he proceeded to go take his son to go find somewhere to use the bathroom. My other friends were like, "Let's go to the beach." But her son didn't feel great, my friend Kim. And so I was like, "I'll stay with him because I'm sure John's coming back by here." Well, time passed. I don't even know how much time. And then I texted him again. I'm like, "Where are you? I'm stuck here." I'm like, no one's responding. So I'm like, all right, we're going to walk over there. So I got her son up, walk around the corner. My daughter, who's 15 at the time, comes running towards me and said, "Mom, something happened to John." I don't remember. Everything's like a blur when something like this happens. And so I had like tunnel vision over past her shoulder where there were people doing chest compressions on John. And there are parts that I've blacked out on all this, but I ran to him, don't remember running. And I remember my friend Kim talking to me, and I'm like, it's like one of those things where her mouth is moving, but I can't remember the words. But I touched his arm and I felt him around me. I knew he wasn't in his body. I yelled, "You can't leave me." And I heard, "Go be with Lucas," who's his son, who was just saved in this whole rescue, thankful for other people and John's ability to stay upright somehow in a rip current to get Lucas to the right people and get him to safety. But I just, there's this blur, but I just remember hearing him. And so things started to come back to me very quickly. But next thing I know, I'm on an ambulance with his son and I'm focused on this. I'm in a dripping wet bathing suit. We've got people that are like his mom, people coming from like 2 hours away. I'm by myself with him going through all this. And all my focus was on him. And it was just like, again, going through this kind of thing, it is traumatic in the moment. I know that this has turned into something so much more beautiful. So this conversation will get better. But those moments really do kind of like rip everything open. And it's like you feel like you're not even here or human in the moment.
It's disconnected.
Absolutely. But John had always said, you know, "I'll communicate with you through music if anything ever happens to me," because we had a passion for music. It was one of the first things we bonded over. Neither one of us were musicians, but we loved some of the same obscure bands, even some random punk emo stuff from like the 90s I hadn't listened to since before my marriage. And so, you know, I thought he'd DJ my Spotify playlists, et cetera. But basically, everything just started to unfold. And I embraced grief in a way that I didn't even know was possible. And I just sat with it. And people wanted to, like, "Let's get your mind off of it." I had people showing up. The news was calling me about the story. And I sat in my bed literally for a month. I took a leave of absence from work and I sat with it. And I received so many messages and I started journaling. I was pointed to suddenly, I need to make a blog. I'm like, I'm not a blogger. At this point, I've used social media just to be my like Facebook page for all my photo albums of my kids since they're
Memories.
little. Yeah, that's it. Like free online storage for photos. So suddenly I'm being pushed into all these different directions and I'm just following. And there were so many things I could break down that happened, but in this time period, I kept hearing we were going to communicate and like I'd be able to hear him and it didn't make sense. And suddenly, just following, not going and researching anything, I'm recording washing machine noises, like just different louder sounds, hair dryers. And then I'm suddenly being guided to jump into like Adobe Audition because I do know Adobe tools from design. Never have used Audition, never have done anything with music. And I'm just following like words that are telling me for like effects and things and frequencies that I've never heard, never researched, messing around with that. Meanwhile, I'm at this wonderful man, Brian, who came in as a friend. It was the very opposite of this quick jump in. It's like this slow burn of like a true friend that had gone through an awakening previously. He understood and could support me. But then as he saw, as I'm getting this whole discovery down, what I'm doing with audio tools, he's like, "Yeah, by the way, I used to DJ and I produced a song and taught myself in an OCD way, like how to produce. And you're doing everything backwards and upside down. You're not using these tools the way they're supposed to." That's the difference in divine guidance. And where I always encourage people, like if you are feeling called to do something, even if it makes no sense, follow it.
Do it.
Because how does anything new come about, right? If we just keep following the rules of how it's done.
Right.
So this progressed. I went back to work, and very quickly was told that now there's a new policy with return to office. And if I don't move to Seattle or New York, my job's over. I'm like, okay, what? I just came back from this grief leave. So anyway, I know that this is impending, and they pretty much put me into a plan to get out of there and get a severance, which wasn't all that much, but it was still just something I could be like, fine, I'm releasing this. And I've had such good success, I figured I'd just continue on with my career. Meanwhile, I've got this stuff where I've finally got John literally audibly coming through. It started when I was on a Zoom call like this. And if there's latency and background removal tools going on, I had music playing and I heard my name so clearly that I went down a rabbit hole that it was having to do with the music. So I started filtering music that was instrumental, no voices in it, just instruments. And that's where I started to understand they were able to, like, he's able to use the instruments actually to create rhythm and pattern because beyond here, we don't have vocal cords, right? We're not a physical body anymore. And one day I was just told, make a song. Like right before the end of my term with my work was going on, I jump in GarageBand. Meanwhile, Brian and I have been building, and he comes back and I'm like, hey, I made a song today. And he listened, and I cringe at it now because I've obviously done a lot more work of the thousands of hours after that. But it was still a fluid song. And I had taken those recordings, and I just dropped them in there randomly. Didn't sound all that great, but I knew there was this concept. It's like the prototype for everything. And from there, this just became a mission where every single day I was getting up and making music. And it was like, I would be at the point where he probably would say, I'm vibrating literally because I'm working in these like spirit frequencies. But that's when I started learning how to create this deeper process that I can repeat over and over again. It's an actual technological process that I use the instruments, I raise certain frequencies, like with number codes of things that have been given to me. And then I treat it for like background removal or voice isolation. And I've realized like spirit is in all these sounds. And it's not just John that's come through. There were a lot of things that were up front. I got like strong messages. I heard my dad's voice. I heard all these other things. But he said with the music, it's like a private line. And that this is like a spirit line that can help activate people, help nervous system regulation, all kinds of things. And there are these beautiful like light being sounds in there. So I end up naming one of them Vanessa. Long story short, just didn't know like what to call this light being that you can hear when you hear a voice is very ethereal. And meanwhile, this is the craziest thing in the world for me to even be talking about. And everyone who's known me as the soccer mom, the corporate leader, is probably thinking I've either lost my mind, I'm not grieving properly. And I'm like, no, this is a whole different thing. So my entire life started to shift, like who was in my life, who I could even communicate with. And luckily,
I
that's
mean,
when I started.
losing your soulmate, I feel like it's gonna change the way that you're seeing life and
Everything.
purpose and time and, not even just going, you're building systems, like you're in the tech world to building something completely different. What broke that identity for you? And
It's still a journey. And I think one of the things is I think that I've met a lot of people now that were kind of in similar situations where they were very corporate and very structured. Again, I was in design, so there was always a little bit of still reward for being out of the box thinking and creative. But a lot of these people, I think now are helping shift culturally the fact that this isn't just somebody who has been into yoga and veganism since day one. These are people who you just trust that they've actually got the smarts, the education, all these things that if they're bringing forward something new, it's not immediately dismissed as they're crazy. Because I don't know how many people go through awakening symptoms and they're labeled insane. They're put into medication and programs and therapy for problems that aren't actual problems. They're just gifts that aren't being nurtured, And so it's been a struggle though, because I went through the phase of as an entrepreneur that didn't plan on entrepreneurship. I mean, I would have built a design business or something I'm familiar with, but trying to bring this forward, being taken seriously, or then realizing like the experiences that certain people were having and pioneering something so different and out there that it's been a roller coaster. And I've had like either people have said this has changed their entire life, or people that are like, I don't understand what you're doing. You're a medium now. That's dangerous. Like just, I've had the mix of all of it, and I've had to just accept through time and time again, lots of fail fast and get back up and change my wording and approach,
No, I get that. And you're going through grief, and I feel like grief is, it's not a linear experience. Like it's a lifetime.
Absolutely
There's
not.
always going to be something that you mourn, whatever that is. So, I'm never a fan of how people define it. Whatever you have to go through, you're going to grow through, or you're going to stay stagnant, and that's going to ultimately be up to you. But like going through grief and then losing your job on top of that, what did that do to like your sense of worth?
At first, because I had this discovery, I felt like extremely confident that it would be no time before the right person saw I have a technological process that proves afterlife. Like it's literally, it felt so obvious from a 3D lens, I'd say, like where I was. But the more it uncovered and the more I saw more people awakening, and then my feed starts getting flooded with coaching programs and all this other stuff, I was like, so this isn't even that big of a deal. I know it still is, but it's like I had to go through a lot of phases. And then I went into panic and tried to apply for a bunch of jobs, which I know that God was like, no, Marcy, you're not going back, because I had the weirdest things happen. And I'm like, but I was sought after. So separating my identity with my corporate career was harder, or losing certain people that are still living because they don't understand me was harder than losing John or my brother, who passed away shortly after that too, because I felt like I know that I'm connected more with that than I am with the people that like just you still kind of wish you could resolve something with, right? So releasing that, and then me putting myself out there, even like LinkedIn, and me having a certain reputation, I'm like, these people probably think I'm off the deep end. And I started having the fear, well, what would it look like if I need to go back to corporate? People look at this and judge me. And so it's such a hard thing to know you've got something so world changing, but it is so fringe that, how do you fit this in? How do you communicate? How do you get people to experience it? And how do you accept that this is not something I would have consciously said, that's what I want to do? And I've always my life gone, this is what I'm going to do, and I do it. This is like, God's like, nope, you're strong enough to take this on. Not, Marcy, you want to fulfill your fun and your destiny. Now, making music is a passion for me now, but bringing something like this forward, there are some days I want to go back and like get my salary back and just play
Safe.
small. Yeah, safe. It's a challenge, but it's like every day I feel like the times that I get the most anxious or worried about any of this, it's almost like there's a great pivot where the next day something beautiful happens. So it's a matter of keeping going and keeping that faith and know that this is about surrender and you're supposed to be human. Like there's so many things that are out there that kind of just push people like for positivity. And yes, you should remain positive, but you're human. And if you don't go through and experience the pain and the loss and the fuck you, I don't want to be here days, then you're not going to move forward. So it's just, to me, it's like one day at a time. I'm living much more present than I ever have in my entire life.
Yeah,
So.
that's incredible. What would you say? What do you say to someone who feels like their life just got completely wiped out? I mean, you lost a soulmate, a job, and a brother. Like that's all very, very heavy and very understandable for, what anything you can look for that connection with them. I totally respect that. So what do you say, to someone who feels like their life is just
Number one, it's okay to feel the pain. Like you're like it, embrace the feeling that it is all falling apart, because in some ways it is. But what I kind of feel like is like I was broken down to the studs. Like you can't go like just upgrade your house if the foundation is poor and weak, and then you've got this beautiful house, but it all can collapse, right? So I think about it as like God is renovating, and renovation takes time. Construction projects, you are dying. A certain part of your life is dying, right? You're letting go, but it's letting go of that ego and what you wanted for your life, where you felt like you had a sense of control, when ultimately we never really do. And so just again, this is where this music is great, because it helps people. I've helped some people that are grieving, that are feeling like giving up, and all those racing thoughts, all the things that we start telling ourselves, like the music with the way the spirit language comes through, it like overrides that thinking, processing brain. But the biggest thing is like the more you can be in the present and get out a pen and paper. I have notebooks all over here that are a hot mess. And when something comes through, even if I'm pissed off, I'm demanding that like this is not okay. Like I let it all out. I don't just go write perfect manifestation notes or say everything's great when it's not. Like the more you go ahead and feel it instead of ignoring it, the sooner you start to see what it is for. There's always something else coming.
I did, I did. I went through like an experience where I thought I really had to have that ego death. Not the healthiest time in my life. I'm, I don't hide it, but I definitely, I'm not proud of it today. But like choosing that one solid ego death, I thought that was a thing. And I'm like, I have to be sick. I have to be all these things to let this part of me die. And what I've learned now, like as my relationship in Christ is growing, and as his voice, like that's solid. I'm connected to his guidance and where he wants me to go. He's gently letting me know, like in every experience, like my ego has to die every day. Like every
Absolutely.
day I have to wake up and that part of me has to die. And I think people don't understand, because there is this, I feel like, especially in the Wu land, and I was there, I don't judge anybody, I was there, but people try to make it seem like you could just have one experience of ego death. And growing through Christ, no, it's like every single day, and if you're not checking your ego, you're going to get brought to your knees so fast. And like, I feel that. So it's an
Yeah.
everyday thing. But like, what else do you really have to let die mentally, emotionally, to become the person that you're meant to be?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like what you're saying too, there's some words that I've like used to have an impression of. Entrepreneurship, I thought that meant instantly rich and wealthy. Ego, I thought that was more like egotistical, and like there's weird English words that trigger in, but the ego thing took me a while to understand because I'm like, well, I'm not trying to, I'm doing what God wants me to do, but why am I having to lose more things? That ego thing is not just about what you want and that you're like saying, I want these things for my life or I'm going to do this. It's literally submitting completely your heart in every moment. It's okay to be human, but then get through that and then move back and say, okay, yes, what is next? I don't know. That's one of those that it continues every day, but I feel like, again, we're never given more than we can handle. Yes, some days it feels like it. When I had all these things happen in a short time period, I could have lost myself, but also God gave me Brian, who's my partner now, gave me other things that were happening and other connection points. Suddenly things are popping up my feed. I made new connections online. So if you start looking for what those things by letting go of them and the doors closing on your ego or your way you think it's going to go, and start focusing on the little things that happen where there's just a perfect alignment, a person reaches out to you, whatever it is, focus on that.
I
And
love
that
that.
you're clearing and making room for stuff that you would never have encountered had you not gone through the pain that you did.
I love that. And that's the scary part for people, right? And I feel like that's why people kind of stay stuck in their grief and they stay stuck in like that, woe is me moment and that this was hard moment is that their brain is looking for all the reasons they should stay stuck instead of like focusing, okay, what can come into my life if I shut this door? It's scary to change jobs. It's scary to get fired, especially if that's your identity. If you're waking up and kind of who you are and you have to recreate yourself, all of that's scary. You don't know. And it's easy that we could sit here and talk about like, who's Marcy in a year. We could talk about that. But then like the actual process of becoming her is actually applying the work. It's scary because I can't be who I was yesterday. I can't keep being her. That's not going to get me anywhere. So every day it's that choice to wake up and change. What are you, where are you still in this process that's not finished, that's not healed, but still becoming?
I think for me, because I set high goals for myself and I achieved them all, I never worried about scarcity mindset. The problem, the opposite thing is, I made it to the top of the ladder with corporate money, the house, the car, all that. But I was giving my money away. I was always feeling because I made more money than my friends, I'd be like, it's my birthday dinner. I'm like, I got this. I would send money. I gave my mom money. I had to actually distance from her because of all this. I realized, I can't keep doing that. And I've been now tested because I was asked to take my retirement out when I'm the type of person who has a perfect credit score. I'm never going to touch retirement. Like, I had all these rules. So I'm being shown even this. And like, that has been the hardest part for me is actually going down to the risk of where's the money going to come from? And ironically, it is like the first time in my life of feeling like I'm living paycheck to paycheck when certain things just play out where it's just enough to cover everything. I've learned now it wasn't about me being bad with my spending for myself. It was the people pleaser, take care of everyone else stuff that I had to get my bank account down to a place where I'm spending exactly what I need for exactly what needs to get done so that I know when I then start to profit from this in a bigger sense, I'm not going to just hand my money off to people that aren't doing their work. But that's been probably the hardest part of all this is me suddenly being encouraged by Spirit to take out credit cards, to learn about what it's like for us to help people. You know, yes, I can help people through the grief and the things. We can only help people with what we've experienced. Yeah. And because I've been so good with the finances, I never got down at this level of, okay, how do I budget exactly? How do I check my account? And by the way, everyone should do this for recurring charges that maybe you signed up for something a year ago and it didn't seem like that much money then. Like absolutely down to the point of checking myself on all that and realizing that even in this, I know it's like, God's going to get me down to a place where I am at that point to say, hey, now I can help other people. And I'm not just the person who had the money to go build the business. I'm the person who went down to nothing to rebuild and help people that get to that point and feel like they don't have the finances to move forward.
You said something incredible that I want the listeners to understand is that you were like, I can't just keep giving away my money to people not doing the work. And I really want that to hit clearly because so many people right now, and especially women, I hate saying that, like you're the people pleaser. You're the put everybody first, do everything for everybody else. And they're never going to do for themselves. As long as you're continuing to enable people to never step into their potential, they just won't. And when you're pouring yourself into cups that are going to continue to take, whether or not you're full enough to give, they'll take till you're nothing. And it's important to set those boundaries. And the fact that, you know, you say that you even had to do that with family. I want people to understand that everybody's called to do their own work on a huge level.
Absolutely. And yeah. And absolutely. And it's with me, it was hard because it was my mother and I kind of got put into more of a mother role, like a reversal. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who've gone through these type of things, but I felt like I was on an emergency call all the time with her until I had to actually create this boundary and say no more. But I felt like she wouldn't live if it weren't for me sending her thousands of dollars. Like this was just an ongoing thing for so many years of my life that I didn't see clearly because it's family. Right. And so sometimes we have to be bold enough to actually look at the people that you care about them, you love them, they raised you and they're not all bad, but there's still some sort of like generational patterns or habits that now you're picking up the bill. You're the one taking care of them, you know?
Yeah.
It's very hard when you have those emotions for people and you know, it's definitely been a, not a walk in the park, but
it's another process of mourning. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? Like, I think people just don't understand that there's loss everywhere. And, you know, constantly, like, you know, my mom's still alive. I mourn her every day, every single day. You know, like, I mourn who she could have been, the kind of mom I could have had. She signed her rights off on me for a little context, if you guys are new here, when I was 12. Okay.
Wow.
So she's still around and we talk sometimes. And, you know, I bless her. I love her. She's still the same person.
Right.
From when I was 12, and I can't help you. You're not doing the work. I can't do it for you. Like I'm gonna heal and move forward, but I grieve for her and I mourn her. And people are like diminishing that. Well, she's still alive. Yeah, you don't understand.
No, that's that. And like I said, I mentioned that earlier. Like I don't know where my mom is right now. I've had to accept and give her up to God. I've had to give my kids up to God. One thing, you know, we as parents, if you have children, you feel like you have some sort of control. I'm like, yes, obviously you take care of them. You're put in this position when they're little and they can't do things for themselves. But sometimes we're not trusted. Even if you say, I trust God with my life, I'm not trusting God with their life to sometimes step back and let them make some mistakes. Like parents try to rush in. And I was doing this for my mother and my children at the same time, like, and my friends, like it became something in me that felt like I had to solve all their problems. And now I'm really about the oxygen mask and redefining the word selfish, because taking care of yourself, making sure you're okay first isn't selfish, but often people pleasers, that's something that like your parents, your friends, that they get something from you will make you feel selfish if you pull away, if you're not doing what it is that they were getting from you anymore. So it's super, super difficult to mourn when you have to take distance for healthy boundaries and still like not know what's going on with that person, right?
I think that was one of my hardest lessons in life is realizing that my babies are God's babies. And
absolutely.
Like, you know, we are born with that innate desire to be able to control everything, control narratives, control outcomes. And you can't survive like that. You can't step into your potential like that. And ultimately, we're never going to be able to control all of that. But you can figure out, like Marcy gets to wake up every day and say, like, what's going to fill my cup today so I can serve the people who are ready to do the work? And that's what we're here to do. And I think what you're doing is amazing. I do have a final question for you.
Sure.
today, and then I want you to be able to tell people where they can find you and how they can work with you. If everything you built today, what you're currently doing right now, all of that disappears, who is Marcy at the core? Who are you without it?
That's an interesting one because I feel like, I went through the phase of losing my career, and that was everything I built. Every person in my life completely changed with that. I've thought about this because I'm still working in a technological field and my process is technological. And I'm like, if everything crashes, what's next? I've already thought, I want to put this music on vinyl because I'm not going to let it end here. So I'm thinking already in terms of, the things that I know I'm here to do. And I think I just would stand more firm in my beliefs and just standing and speaking, even if all the tech dropped, right? Like, I have gone through enough to know that what I'm doing is my divine mission. Some days I don't wish it was, but I feel like I'm just more confident in knowing that I'm here for a bigger purpose. And in some way, God will use me. Like, I'm open to the next change. Like, if this all falls apart, what's next? I mean, this was already a big enough change. Like, give it to me. Not hopefully going to happen, but in general, it's just okay, what's next?
I love that. Where can people find you?
So the music is Love Evolve, and that's with one E shared. It's the word love and evolve, but one E in the middle, Love Evolve Music. And you can go to electricblueunited.com. My company's Electric Blue Communications, more on the side of divinely given business name when I actually made the communication connection. But you can get to all my stuff on there. And I do multiple things with custom audio, as well as different programs. Actually, tomorrow night I have an event where I'm doing a live build. So people can actually come check me out building the track live. And I do these at, random intervals right now, hopefully more regularly. And then I actually have a couple other sound healing experts on there that are going to be amazing for us to do a whole panel discussion for people who don't understand that sound can actually affect you at a cellular level, So lots of cool things you can check out on electricblueunited.com.
Yeah, I love that so much. And Marcy, I'm going to tell you what actually makes you special. It is not the music and it's not the reinvention. It's the fact that life kicked your ass from every angle. Love, family, identity, stability, and you didn't feel sorry for yourself and you didn't stay buried in it. You made the decision to get back up and build again, even when it didn't make sense, even when it hurt. And genuinely, I've watched a lot of people don't come back for that. They survive it, right? But they don't rebuild, and you did. And whether someone agrees with every part of your path or not, they cannot deny your resilience. And that's what makes you incredibly special, that you've realized the importance of sound. And I think people don't understand our voices are everything. Your voice
Absolutely.
matters all the way to the heavens. Like, it is very specific, it's very unique, and you're using yours and sound and music. And I think God works through a lot of ways to bring healing and connection to people. But you're using your
Absolutely.
voice. You're telling your story. And to everyone listening, you guys, this is what I want you to take from this. Life is going to hit you hard, and shit is gonna hurt so bad. You're gonna lose things that you never thought you'd lose. And you're gonna face moments that don't make sense, but you still get a choice. Jesus did not call you to stay broken. He called you to get up, to live in your highest potential, to take what he tried, what the devil tried to take you out with. And you need to use that to help someone else. Your mess is your message. So if you're sitting there thinking, like, I'm just not qualified, you are. And you're being called. If this episode hit you, please subscribe, share it, send it to someone who needs it, drop a review. It takes a few minutes to leave some words, okay? Leave some words and make sure you guys get resourced with Marcy, okay? Show notes have everything that you need. And if you're ready to step into the arena, sit in the hot seat and come tell me why you're special. I will see you guys there. Marcy, you're amazing. I appreciate you so much for coming on and sharing your story and I'm praying for you. I know you're going to be a big blessing.
Thank you so much, Brandon. I've really enjoyed this. And yeah, if I can leave everyone with just one thought,
Yeah.
if you feel like you're called to do something and you feel like you're hitting resistance and walls, that does not mean stop. It means, think about maybe a different angle, but the resistance happens when you've got something big to bring to this world.
Yeah.
And so don't let that stop you in your path.
I love that. All right, guys, we'll see you next time.
Thank you.